And a big congratulations going out to the Seattle Seahawks. Taking home the Super Bowl. Damn, I wish it was the Bears. 29-13. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score, hanging out with you all the way to 5 a.m. Damn, you heard that right. That's a long 5 hours, baby. Long 5 hours. But we are ready. And this is not your typical overnight show that you typically hear me on where, you know, we're talking Bears football. And we get to sit on the therapist's couch and really just break down the game and talk about what we're missing. Now, there will be some components of that. We will get the opportunity to talk about the Bears and, you know, where we feel like there's a gap between the Seahawks. I'll tell you, the first thing I think about is I wish that the Bears were able to have played the Seahawks. And at least if the Bears would have lost in the NFC Championship game, then you could have felt like, okay, then fine. And granted, the Rams beat the Bears, but I feel like the Bears were the better team in that divisional game. So I don't know. That one smarts a little bit. Anyway, Seahawks win 29-13. We're going to be talking about that. We'll be talking about Bears. We're talking Bulls. Might get some baseball in there. You never know. I got 5 hours. This is my first time doing the overnight without the Bears, where I get to just, you know, do my own thing. And from what I'm told, I have, you know, a pretty long leash here. I can do whatever I want. So what I really want to do, and this will be a thing if I continue to do these overnight shows. That's so funny. I need a first caller. Because if we're going to do this overnight show, I need it to be a thing where I still, just like the Bears season, I still need to be, this is an interactive show. So I need people to call me. So if you're one of the many, I'll call it many. Sure. Yeah, why not? Many people listening right now. Then I need my first caller. All right. 312-644-6767. What you get for being the first caller, to be determined. We got to look to see if there's anything available, if I can legally give you anything. But the fact of the matter is, we do need a first caller. So 312-644-6767. You could talk about the Super Bowl. You could talk, matter of fact, you could talk about anything sports related. I was going to say you could talk about anything, but it got to be something sports related. And Chicago-centric would be ideal so that way we can really discuss some stuff. But if I'm going to have this show overnight, people need to know they can call in. I'm not a guy that's going to be babbling for 5 hours straight. Not my jam, right? And I tell my bosses all the time, it's a solo show, sure. But I'd much rather be in a group, in a something with people. So for that, I want to open it up to you. So again, Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you all the way till 5 o'clock here on 104.3 The Score. And let's just go ahead and take our first phone call. Jason, if I had a damn bell or a whistle or some sort, if I had like a sound effects machine right in front of me, I would be hitting you with air horns right now. Because shout out to you. You're the first caller of the day.
Gabe, what's going on? We missed the overnight show. Thanks for doing this.
You know what? I'll be honest. When the bosses approached me with it, you know what it is, Jason? Sometimes, you know that the meme where they're like, you somehow became important at work, like despite everything. So that's me.
You got big shoes to fill. We missed the grabber.
Oh, you know, grabber and I, we go way back. So Grob's looking down. He's thinking this is okay. You know what I'm saying? So then when they asked me to do it, I was like, you know, I could give you a couple days a week. You know, that's the best I could do for you. I could give you a couple days, but I'm glad that my overnight crew is rocking with me. So, Jason, man, I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad you're the first caller of the night. Talk to me.
I miss talking with Grobber about my wife.
I love it. Oh man, if I can get all the regulars to come through and just hang out with me. So the plan, Jason, just for those people that are just listening in for the first time, is the plan is Sunday nights into Monday and then Thursday nights into Friday. So if you're a third shifter, like we might become homies because you might just be hearing a lot from me. All right, let's go to Al out in Valpo. Al, what's going on, brother? Glad you're on the show, man. Glad you picked up the phone, man. Glad you decided to make this a communal affair.
All right, I'm on the road anyway, almost back home. Yeah. But just wanted to touch base with you about those Bears and what they need to do to ramp up that defense. What do you think?
It's interesting, right, Al, where that's something that stood out from both teams. And for me, it was the secondary, where, you know, a lot of times we as Bears fans overvalue our players, right? And I don't really see Bears fans as Chicago fans, whether it's the Cubs, the Sox, the Bears, the Blackhawks, whatever it might be. And
sure,
you saw it with the Bulls, Al, where everybody's like, well, why didn't AK get a bunch of first round picks for these guys? And I kept tapping on the glass on CHSN and saying, hey, maybe it's because they're not as valuable as you think they are. You know what I'm saying? And so when it comes to this defense, Al, I'm watching the secondary and I'm thinking to myself, and maybe you were too, I love Jalen Johnson. I love Tyreek Stevenson. I love Nashon Wright. But these guys right here on both sides, both teams, are significantly better. Like, the secondaries were just so much better than the Chicago Bears.
It's all about speed. It's about speed there. We don't have any speed in the secondary.
Is that what you saw the most of in the Super Bowl, speed from the secondary?
Well, I saw tackling for Seattle, and I saw the coverage that they did. The Patriots have a respectable defense, and they have speed at the corners.
What else did you see, Al, when you're talking about the defenses and the gaps between what Seattle had and then what the Bears have?
They can get pressure with four, obviously.
True.
You know, the front four. And you know, they're just a good tackling team. But with the Bears, you know, to me, with the Bears, you talked about they wish the Bears had beat the Rams and played Seattle. You know, when that game went to overtime and the Bears had second and eight from the 48, is when the difference in that game was Sean McVay using his timeouts and drawing up plays and talking to his defense. In sudden death overtime, the clock is no longer an issue. And Ben Johnson forgot that. Ben Johnson went to bed with three timeouts that night, and he needed to call a timeout there telling Caleb, hey, 15 yards and we're going to the championship game. Use your legs. Take the check down because we've got three plays to get 8 yards here, and now we're knocking on the door of the field goal. And McVay, when he called his timeout, he brought 12 and he brought 12 over, and Stafford, and told him, hey, if the Bears corner blitz, 3 yards, hit it to him. What'd they do? The Bears corner blitz. Stafford stood up, threw it to him, 3 yards. He got 18 yards later, and the Rams are going to win the game on a field goal. They set him in motion and did it, and they did it right off the tight end. And that was, and McVay did them both off a timeout. And I just thought that was the difference. I thought all throughout the year, I thought Johnson didn't use his timeouts correctly a lot at the end of the games. He let a lot of clock run off when he didn't need to. But, you know, again, one of the things the Bears prospered over, I believe, was that last place schedule. Same as New England. You know, a lot of teams prosper off that. And, you know, it's going to be a lot different next year when they have to play that first-place schedule.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Thanks for the call, Al. I mean, you know, that's objective, right? It's like the Bears had one of the easier schedules, as did the Patriots, but the fact of the matter is you got to go out and win those games. And I think the Bears did a good job of that. I think, you know, you make the case for the Chicago Bears to have a better defense. I support that. I think everybody would. And you can see the differences between what a Super Bowl team looks like and what your respective squad is. The timeouts and Ben Johnson, okay, yeah. I agree with you. I've died on that hill. First and 10 from the 50-yard line, and Caleb Williams is the quarterback. Bears should get a field goal 10 out of 10 times. 10 out of 10 times. And the fact that it somehow snuck in where it didn't happen that game, you know, is that. But, you know, it's a game that we can play a lot of. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out here on 104.3 The Score, taking your phone calls. Shout out to the first two people, bro. Grand Leader producing today. Grand's like, what are we going to do? I said, phone calls, baby.
Hey, I didn't know.
I'm telling you.
We always do Bears overnight.
I know.
Not just overnights.
And Chicago is, like, if there's one thing in Chicago, and Ryan, I'm going to get to you in a second, Jared as well. One thing about Chicago is, I'll never forget. So I actually was in San Francisco to watch the Bears, like, the second to last game against the Niners. So I was out there, and I just remember I landed Friday morning, like, at, I don't know, 1 a.m. And we get to our hotel, and I'm like, I'm going to go tell him the bell front door guy. I'm like, I'm going to go walk around, you know, see what I can get into. And I was with my boy. And he's like, there's nothing open. And I was like, I know, but, like, you know, I know everything closes at 2 o'clock in California, but there's got to be some, like, afters or some, like, parties that you can, like, slide into. He's like, nah, you're not going to find anything. So I'm walking around, find a random pizza spot, figure I can ask that guy. He probably knows where the afters is. He's like, nah, nothing around here, man. And I'm thinking, if this is Chicago, you'd be having conversations with regular people walking around the streets. Because Chicago stays up later. That's the point that I'm trying to make. It's 12:12 in Chicago right now. And people are up listening and making phone calls because you want to know why? The Gabe Ramirez show from 12 to 5 is going to be taking phone calls. So let's continue to do so. All right, we got Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, welcome to the show, brother. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, hey, it's good to hear from you. I wasn't expecting it. I was listening to the National Westwood One guy, then boom, we get a surprise.
Look at that. And you'll get a surprise, you know, for the next couple of weeks. So make sure you're hanging out with me, Ryan. I expect phone calls from you.
Yeah, and you never answered me. Did you guys play Sexy Back on B96 after the Bulls trade for Sexton?
You know what? I did not do that, but how would it go? They're not bringing Sexton back because he wasn't here to begin with. But I liked where you were going. We're bringing Sexton. Yeah, maybe we could do that. We could do that. All right.
He comes back from injury. Yeah. So I know that they're both in the NFC, but just imagine the Bears were in that same situation that the Patriots were in against Seattle, specifically in the Super Bowl, not the conference, with a goose egg and an offense bailed out by its defense coming into the fourth. I think our guys, Caleb, Ben Johnson, Tuninum, we definitely rally and come back, no? I mean, that fumbleception to Uchenna and Wosu for six, I won a ton of cash off that. But I only played that because I knew you could do that to Drake. You can't do that to Caleb. So when people say he's any better, I'm like, Soulja Boy. I'm going, Drake? Drake?
That's great, Ryan. Dude, you got to keep these coming, man. I need these. It's got to be like Ryan's monologue, but I'm going to come up with Ryan something. Ryan roasts. I need my Ryan roast weekly when I'm doing this show, Ryan. So I need you to call in so I can get that. But you're absolutely right. When you saw Drake May try to escape, and this is somebody, Ryan, that people talked about highly of in terms of escapability, you know, use of legs, he wasn't as elusive as Caleb Williams is. And so when you saw Seattle defenders get home and Drake failed at escaping, you thought to yourself, you know, man, Caleb would have got away from that. Let's say, for example, the Sam Darnold throw to Jackson Smith and Jigba where they blitzed, he steps up, he overthrows Jackson Smith by like 4 yards. Caleb would have had several of those throughout the game. Look at me, Ryan, trying to make a case that the Bears could have won the Super Bowl. Look at me. Look how scorned I am as a Bears fan.
You're talking about him overthrowing him, right?
Yeah, overthrowing Jackson Smith and Jigba. So, I don't know, Ryan. Let me ask you this, Ryan, because I trust you. I value your opinion. How far do you think is the ceiling the same next year as it was this year for the Bears? Because my ceiling for the Bears was NFC Championship game.
You know what? The ceiling is the roof. I mean, it's even better now because we have more time to really get used to things because Ben Johnson, though, was his first year there. So just imagine how things are going to tie up in the second year. I don't think it'll be like Matt Nagy where defenses kind of figure it out. I mean, guys are wide open all the time. You know, defense should get better, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is something that they're going to have to really work on and get to that place. But it's going to be an interesting ride. And it's cool to see, you know, a team that you weren't necessarily expecting, right, Ryan, to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And it just lets you know, we're in a different era of sports, whether it's not with only sport where it's not different is baseball because the Dodgers just continue to run that sport. But when you're thinking about the NBA, they've had different champions the last 5 seasons, NFL, different champions. So, you know, there's parity out there in sports. And I think the Bears can be the beneficiary of that by putting some good seasons together with Ben Johnson. Hey, Ryan, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling in. I really do.
Yep, anytime, any week.
Well, it'll be Thursday night into Friday. I expect to see you then. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Seattle Seahawks beat the New England Patriots 29-13. This is a game that was boring. It was already in the hands of the Seattle Seahawks. They were up 19-0 at one point. The Patriots, you know, backdoored a couple of scores. But for the most part, Seattle's dominance really came out on top in this one. And we're trying to just see the gap between Seattle and the Bears. It was unfortunate we weren't able to see it firsthand in the NFC Championship game. But we can play this one, theoretically, here on this show. Let's go to Bill out in Greenwood. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, Gabe. I just wanted to bring up one point that the other call that you had. Sure. Made a very great point that, you know, the Bears got out coached in that game against the Rams. But one thing you have to remember is McVay from the Rams has won a Super Bowl, okay? And the Bears head coach, Ben Johnson, he is the first coach in the history of that organization to win a playoff game in his first year. And, okay, I have no problem with getting out-coached by a guy that's got a Super Bowl ring. I'll take that guy over Eberflus or Nagy or any other clowns that the Bears organization has had. This guy is the Bears in the right direction. It would have been great if they could have played the Seahawks for the NFC Championship. Didn't work out. Didn't work out. But I'll take that guy over any other coach with the Bears of Ditka. Any other coach.
Bill, do you think you'd love him so much that you would get a tattoo of Ben Johnson?
No. No, absolutely not. I don't have any tattoos. I'm an old man. It's not me.
Same. I don't put a bumper sticker on a Corvette. You know, it's just not my jam. I have a perfect body as well, Bill. When it comes.
Well, I don't have a perfect body, but I'm an old man. But I just for him to put Ben Johnson in a Super Bowl. I mean, he's going to win a Super Bowl. And you're looking at the guy from the Rams. He right. was, you know, very close to being a two-time Super Bowl head coach.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Ben Johnson, a first-year head coach, being out-coached by McVay from the Rams.
It's one of those situations, Bill, where you expect it. It should be expected. If Sean McVay didn't out-coach Ben Johnson, it would say more about Sean McVay than it would say about Ben Johnson, right, in that scenario. And listen, I think, you know, I've made this comp often, which is, you know, if we've all started a job at one point in our lives, Bill. And we all can think back to our first day, our first week, our first month. And we can also look back and think how much different year one was than that moment, right? Where you know where the coffee machine is, you know, the sneaky place to find the paper towels when you need them. Like just small things like that and nuanced things like that that you know and that can only come with time. It is no different when you're a head coach. Even though you've been an offensive coordinator, you've been in those rooms, you need reps as a head coach so that you can see what overtime looks like after you've punted the ball or after the opposing team has punted the ball. You can see those small little things. Like even for example, Bill, Ben Johnson didn't call a timeout on that last field goal kick by the Rams to potentially even just ice the kicker. And I wonder if he thinks back to it and he's like, you know what, damn, I probably should have just called the timeout instead of, you know, playing around. And then thinking like I was playing a mind game. Just small things like that. But you can't have a good opinion on those things until you've experienced it in real time. And that's what we've seen Ben Johnson do. But Bill, if Ben Johnson actually goes out and wins the Super Bowl, maybe you and I should get the tattoos.
Maybe not a tattoo, but how about we get together and have few beers and a couple shots.
I'll take that. That'll work for me, Bill. I appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez, your therapist for overnight, because you can talk about anything with me. It's not just the Bears. Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks. I'm deep in my Blackhawks game. If you guys don't know, I'm realizing that not as many people as I like to think in my brain have CHSN. And are able to watch me on TV. I've talked to several people over the weekend where I've told them what I'm doing now. And then they're like, they apologize immediately because they don't have CHSN. I'm like, oh, yeah, CHSN, the new channel with the Blackhawks and the Bulls. Like, yeah, I do a TV show on there called the Chicago Lead. They're like, oh, dude, so sorry I don't have CHSN. I'm like, oh, it's all good.
Got to fix it, man.
It's all good, bro. It's all good. I get it. I only have it. Here, you want to tell? I'll tell you exactly who to. Oh, this is a great story. Jared, I'm going to get to you in just one second. I'm going to tell this story several times throughout the day, but I had the incredible luck. I won't even call it luxury. I had the incredible luck of doing a little color commentary for the Chicago Bulls on Saturday. Myself, Chuck Swirsky, we were able to get it in. And Chuck was the one that was telling me, as a matter of fact. He's like, I don't even have CHSN. And he's like, and I, you know, and I'm calling the games. I'm calling the Bulls games. And he's like, I don't need to watch them. I don't need to watch the Bulls. He's like, so I don't need.
He watches the front row seat every time.
I get a front row seat. And he's like, you know, And I'm like, Chuck, don't worry about it, dude. It's all good. It's okay if you don't have CHSN and you don't watch me and David Hall on the Chicago Lead. It's okay. Now, if you're wondering and saying, Gabe, did you just say you did color commentary for the Bulls on Saturday with Chuck Swirsky? Yes, absolutely, I did. Now, it wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen. I was filling in for Alyssa Bergamini. And that's why in this job, and not this job, let me be very clear, any job for that matter to my young folks out there, you just always got to say yes, right? You always say yes. And when they say your best ability is availability, that is not a saying. That is a fact. It is just life fact. And so, obviously, I'm available. I'm filling in for Alyssa Bergamini. Bill Winnington gets sick. And they're like, hey, we need you to do, like, all the in-game reads like Bill Winnington would do. And I said, absolutely. Got no problem with that. And then I tried to remind people, I do cover the Bulls for Chicago Sports Network. I do have a TV show where I cover those. And it is my favorite sport with my favorite team. I'm very much capable of doing this job. But they didn't want me to do it. I said, okay, no problem. So we get in the building. I'm doing my pregame. Get on the air. Do my Circus Sports. Shout out Circus Sports. Do all that stuff. Chuck's rolling solo. And I'm thinking, I'm even telling my wife. She's like, he's not going to do anything with you? I said, babe, it's Chuck Swirsky. He's been doing this for 30 years. Chuck Swirsky could do a game. Chuck Swirsky could call a game blindfolded. Based off how the ball is bouncing on the hardwood, he would know what's going on. So we get there. He's starting his, you know, you dig, and I'm chilling. You know, the engineer, Rich Wyatt, told me I'm not going to talk, and I said, I get it. I heard you. I'm not doing color. Fine. So I'm sitting there courtside saying what's up to all my people, Ruthie Polinsky, DJ Metro, the whole nine. Adam Amin gave me a hug. Feeling like the man. Can't say a word. Then Chuck Swirsky begins, and all of a sudden he's talking, and he's like, "Now, Gabe, da 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 da." And I'm thinking to myself, "Now, damn it! Everybody told me I wasn't going to be talking today." And Chuck Swirsky, 1 minute into this thing, tosses it to me, and he's like, "Gabe, blah, blah, blah." Now, here's a little. This is the beauty of overnight. I get to talk a little bit more. Now, I've dealt with this situation many times in my career, where it is not a secret that I come from pop radio, right? That I was at B96 for a long time. This is no secret. So what happens was, over the last 8 years that I've been doing sports in Chicago, when you first get on a set, sports people are real finicky in that sense, where they feel like you don't belong to the fraternity. And so what happens is, especially being the pop culture guy, when you walk into these rooms, you have to almost prove yourself immediately in order to earn some credibility. And I've dealt with this before, whether it's David Kaplan on Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports, whether it's Sports Talk or Chicago Sports Tonight on Fox 32, Sports Zone, any of these shows I've been on, it's always the same thing, where you're on somewhere with somebody that doesn't know you, and they're like, why am I on this show with this pop culture guy? And then all of a sudden I start spitting facts, and they're like, oh, damn, he knows what he's talking about. And that's how I've won people over for the last 8 years. Saturday, no different. Chuck Swirsky tosses it to me, and I hit him with gems because I know the Bulls. I know this team. I know the trades. I know the players. I know who's come over from these different teams, because I know those players from different teams, because I know I love the NBA. So I'm spitting facts, and then all of a sudden you can just tell in real time. Chuck like almost lets out this sigh of relief, like, oh, damn, I'm going to be good. And so I was patient. I wasn't injecting myself like a normal color commentary broadcaster would. I just sat back and relaxed. And then I find my moments. And then I say whatever I had to say. And then all of a sudden, before you knew it, I was throwing myself in like a regular color. And Chuck was with it. And so the coolest thing was that at the beginning of the Bulls broadcast, Chuck was very adamant and was like, it's Chuck Swirsky. Gabe Ramirez filling in for Alyssa Bergamini. Bill Wennington's out sick tonight. That's how he started. By the fourth quarter, it was Chuck Swirsky, Gabe Ramirez filling in for Bill Wennington. Ooh, it was
filling in for two jobs.
Filling in, baby. Matter of fact, Sean Sears, if you're listening right now, shout out Sean Sears, one of the other guys grabbing audio from the Super Bowl. I need all 2.5 hours of that Bulls game. On a jump drive, on a Google Drive, something, I need it because I need all those clips. Because if I'm going to make my demo reel for being a color commentator, then I have to go ahead and get that. But it was awesome. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later. Like I said, I'll be talking about it a couple times throughout the day. But a great story about needing to be prepared, right? And believability in yourself, right? I think a lot of times, Grant, this could be true for you. This could be true for Jared that's waiting a hold. Anybody else that's on these lines. A lot of times we have a lot of self-doubt. Right, you're like, damn, am I going to be able to fill in the blank, right? I don't know if I should do that because fill in the blank, right? And the fact of the matter is you are more than capable. You personally, you can do these things that you doubt yourself about. You just haven't been given the opportunity, right? So the doubt comes in because the opportunity hasn't presented itself. But the fact of the matter is you can do those things, right? And that's what the mindset needs to be. When moving forward, when thinking about goals that you want or, you know, things that haven't happened yet. It's like, no, these are all very true and real. It's just about the opportunity presenting. Like, do I feel like I can do color for the Bulls? Not like Stacey King, but do I feel like I'm capable? Like I can? Sure. And then when the opportunity presented itself, I did it. So again, you can't doubt yourself into thinking those things. Oh, I didn't get the job yet, so I must not be good enough yet, or I must not, you know, have the skill yet, or that guy must have been better than me. No, it's just the opportunity wasn't there. So again, this is more of a soliloquy about belief in yourself, and that way you shouldn't doubt anything. Listen, the Seahawks didn't doubt themselves. They won the Super Bowl 29-13 against the New England Patriots, and we get the opportunity to talk about that. And the gap between, you know, both of those teams, not just the Seahawks, but the Patriots as well, if you're going to try to measure up the Bears to that. What did you feel like was missing? What did you feel like these two teams had that the Bears did not have? 312-644-6767. I want to take your phone calls. The lines are still open, but on the other side, first up is going to be Jared from Plainfield, and then your phone calls will follow. Again, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Trump said it was absolutely terrible.
It wasn't. It was great.
I mean, everybody has their opinion, which is fine. And I have no problem with that. I would feel weird if I was an American citizen. And I understand that, like, in America, you know, let's say, for example, I don't know what would be a good example. If, because I'm definitely not going to get political on here. This is more of just a statement. I understand that whoever is the president, about half the country is going to dislike that, right?
Half the country is going to like it.
Yeah, and half the country is going to like it, whether it's Obama, whether it's Trump. You're going to have people that are going to hate it, right? But to think that if I'm like Bad Bunny, that even if I disagree with my president and his political beliefs, that he thinks my performance is, you know, the president of my country thinks that that it was terrible. I'd feel a certain type of way. But Bad Bunny's performance is great. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Your personal Bad Bunny, I guess, because right now when you're Puerto Rican, I'm Puerto Rican, it's like you feel like you've embodied what it is to be Bad Bunny over the last week or so, from the Grammy win to his performance tonight, even just the lead up to the Super Bowl. As a Puerto Rican, you're like, damn, everybody just keeps talking about my cousin Bad Bunny, because that's what it feels like. It feels like it's your cousin. All Puerto Ricans feel like that. And so, you know, seeing the performance, I've gotten so many text messages. David Hall texted me this morning, or last night, I should say. David Hall was like, I'll tell you exactly what he wrote. He said, was that as good as I think it was? That's what he texted me. I said, was that as good as I think it was? Wow. I said, that was so good. And underlying messaging was incredible. He showcased the island, the culture, the history, while turning it into a party, which is essentially what happened right there. And then I got text messages from David Hall, Marshall Harris, even a couple of former coworkers of mine that are like, you must be so proud to be Puerto Rican right now. And yeah, there is. It's almost like getting Caleb Williams first in picking the draft. And you're like, this feels incredible. Like, I can't believe that this guy is, you know, this guy from Puerto Rico is out here performing at the Super Bowl in Spanish, doing a damn party. Todo el mundo está perreando. Like, my daughter was watching it, and I get it. When you have, you know, explicit dancing like that, and when you're a parent, you have to parent your child. And so my little four-year-old's watching the thing. She can't wait for Bad Bunny. First quarter, 12 minutes left. When is Bad Bunny coming? I said, baby girl, you got two more quarters to go. Chill out. So the girls are dancing, and she's like, why are the girls shaking their booties like that? And I was like, damn. And I was like, well, you know, baby girl. And I looked at my wife, and we're trying to figure out, like, do I take the time to say, like, this is a cultural thing? You know, like, this is just how they dance? But my wife took that's an adult dance. You know, this is an adult dance.
It's very adult dance,
This is how adults dance when they dance. But I'm looking at this picture right now on Reuters, and it is like, you know, perreando is just juking, right? That's what Chicagoans would call it. You're juking on each other. You're you know, humping one another, for lack of a better words. And, you know, that's the culture. But for him to, like, turn the Super Bowl into a perreo, like a true party, is unreal. And there's a lot of parties taking place across not only Chicago, but the country. And, you know, playing this type of music. So he's bringing, and it's always been something of Bad Bunny wanting to bring, you know, like, the party vibes back to music. And Puerto Rican culture, you know, that was big with, like, not just these particular artists, but they contributed to it. Daddy Yankee, Tego Calderon, you know, Don Omar, people like that. Where we seen Yandel, where, like, dancing and grinding was like a thing. And then you kind of got away from that, right, with all, like, the hood music. And then so Bad Bunny was trying to bring that back. So trying to bring all that back. Did you notice that the grass, the sugar cane that was around them, those were actual people that were dressed in that? Because they couldn't push them onto the field because they only could have 25 carts. There's just so many things that were there. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But there's a guy that's been on hold that I've been saying I'm going to take that I just need to get to right now. Because I like this guy. He calls all the time. Part of my overnight crew. We need to dub the overnight crew something. Jared, let's get Jared on the phone. Jared from Plainfield. Jared, you're part of this overnight crew that, you know, sits on the therapist's couch, maybe talks some Bears. We need a name for us. You know what I mean? For, like, our group of people that consistently hang with us.
A name? I don't even know.
I'll work on that. I'll work on it, Jared. I don't want to put that pressure on you.
No, you're good.
But you're a part of it, though, right, Jared?
Oh, 100%.
100%, right. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I was making sure. All right, talk to you about this. And are we talking about the Super Bowl?
We are talking about the Super Bowl, but mostly the never-ending discourse with the 2024 draft class. Ooh. Specifically Caleb and Drake May.
Okay, I like this. I like where we're starting. Starting hot, Jared.
All right, I'm coming with receipts.
I love this. I got and you know me, I have my Word doc open. I'm ready to roll right now. All right, what you got for me, Jared?
We all watched the game, and Drake May kind of put on a Caleb-esque performance through the first three quarters, 7 of 15,
true.
Sub 50%, 56 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, one fumble, two sacks. And then my next stat.
Okay.
We all saw the graphic. It popped up in the bottom left. Drake May in the 2025 postseason, 20 sacks, most in NFL history, and 7 fumbles, tied for most NFL history.
Did they put up the stat about the two rookie offensive linemen too?
Not quite sure.
Okay. But I'm following you.
My point with that is, and we're Chicago fans. We're homers. We could say this, but if Caleb Williams put up that kind of stat line, it'd be on ESPN, SportsCenter, every network for the next.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Everyone would be talking about Caleb Williams' inability and you can run around all you want, Caleb, but you can't do it against a good defense. Everyone would have been saying that.
Correct. And I really like the 2024 draft class. I think all the top three guys, Drake, Caleb, Jaden, all those guys can be really good players. I'm iffy on Bo Nix. Okay. But mostly, it's a testament to how good the Seahawks defense is. I mean, they almost single-handedly won them the game. Seriously. Outside of Kenneth Walker, obviously well-deserved MVP. But Drake May, his whole playoffs, he did not play well whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that of the teams, I mean, if we're going to look at it objectively, I think, you know, when you're looking at the overall teams that were, you know, the final four, you could even go eight for that matter, you know, they probably had one of the least talented rosters, right? When you're thinking about skill position players, you know, just on the offensive side, even on the defense, I mean, you know, you can name a couple of players, but it's not like they had household names. So I think they were dealing with an inferior roster, one that they'll build upon, but they definitely got lucky. I don't want to take that away from the narrative, right? Beating Stidham in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl is not something that you can just scoff at and look past. You know what I mean?
I agree. I mean the Broncos defense, top three, top five. I mean, statistically, and yeah, you could say, oh, Jarrett Stidham, easy schedule, this, that, and the third. But getting to the Super Bowl isn't easy. No matter who you face, you play who you play. You know?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I think in this one, it was a boring game. I love the defense.
Up until the fourth quarter.
Right. And at that point, you know, it was kind of out of reach. But, you know, I thought the game itself, I like defense. So I didn't mind the defense and the style of play. I wished, you know, it's so funny, right, Jared, where you watch these games and it doesn't matter if it's the Super Bowl or week four against the Jets. There's always plays that either, you know, build you or break you down, and we saw that in this game, right, where there are moments where either team could have capitalized when nobody was putting up points that would have changed the momentum for the other squad. But it's like, you have to execute at a super high level consistently, not just for one drive or, you know, a couple drives, like consistently, if you want to win games in the NFL, particularly at the highest level in the Super Bowl.
Correct. And I think the ending drive, well, not drive, was the fumble six after they stripped May and ran it back for a touchdown. But to circle back real quick, you mentioned what's the difference between these two teams and the Bears. The Bears, yes, they led the league in turnovers. But other than that, yards, points, they were bottom five in most, if not all, of those categories. And I do think polls, Ben, et cetera, will attempt to try and better it in the offseason. But if we beat the Rams somehow in overtime, which, hand up, I am a homer, I think we should have.
Same.
I think we would have got kind of smoked, to say the least, in the NFC Championship.
I know. It kind
of, not a bad thing.
It feels that way, right? When you look at their team and just their ability to put up points, the defense and their tenacity, it kind of makes you feel that way. But it leaves you, which I think is good, right? Because you need something to fuel the flame. It leaves you with something to be passionate about, or you at least want the opportunity to test yourself against something like that, where you felt like you were the better team against the Rams, so you didn't lose to a superior team. And I think that's what I was waiting for all season long, was to run up against a team that was just significantly better than the Bears, so that then when you could be like, okay, that's the gap. The gap is there. And you can kind of make that assessment looking at Seattle, but it would have been better to see it firsthand up close. All right, Jared, I got some names for you. You ready?
Go ahead. I'm ready.
Because I think you would probably be like on the exec board. You know what I mean? Like, you would be up there if you were.
Live, breathe, and eat Bears.
Of course.
All
right, so I got my first one is pretty good. The scorekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was it. I was waiting for like wow, that was a good game or something like that. No? Okay. Scorekeepers. The scorekeepers. All right, I got it. You didn't like it. That's why you're on the board. You have a heavy opinion here. So the scorekeepers, I thought that was high on my list. I thought we were gonna have to go down this list too much. The night owls, you know, so who?
Oh, okay. You're talking about the names. Who? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking about the names.
I like that, though. I like that, though.
Oh, okay.
I like the scorekeepers. I like the scorekeepers.
Okay, now I see what you say. You didn't know the context of what I was actually talking about. This is for like what we're calling ourselves overnight, like the people that call in, right? We could be the scorekeepers.
Wait, let me hear some more. Rattle some
yeah, off. I got you. The night owls. And then I'd be like, hey, are you a night owl? And you could be like, who?
Who?
That's good.
Who?
That's good.
Who?
A little dad humor.
Like you, yeah. You know, I got three kids. I got to work on that. You know, I've heard the mob thrown out often. We could be the midnight mob.
Ooh, might take the one spot. I like that one.
Midnight mob.
Scorekeepers. Midnight mob.
Scorekeepers. I kind of like it though. I like scorekeepers because the overnight crew is paying attention. You know, I mean, they are locked in. Like, those are the ones that are locked in the most. So, scorekeepers could be good. I got Graveyard Gang. I don't want to be. This is Chicago. I don't necessarily.
Not bad.
Yeah. The Insomniacs. Got a little something?
Insomniacs. I mean, we've all been there before.
I think I've heard that one before. Yeah. Might be copyright.
Yeah. Is it copyright? let me see. I don't like anything else. I think, the 3 a.m.ers is not good. I like scorekeepers, night owls.
I'm leaning towards scorekeepers.
Like, my vote's scorekeepers, yeah.
Scorekeepers, see? Because it kind of sounds like Crypt Keepers, you know, like Tales from the Crypt. And then, like, you kind of got some scorekeepers. Because, okay, we're going to work on it. We're gonna maybe throw it out all day today and see if we can get some traction on some of these over there. But, Jared.
I like that.
Hey man, like I said, you be on the executive board. You're on the executive board, and I'm gonna place people where they're at.
I have one more question for you.
Oh, I love this.
Short and sweet, if you don't mind.
No. Jared, you are on the exec board of the scorekeeper, so you can ask as many questions as you want. You're good.
Okay. No. I like it. I'll take a. Gosh, what is that, Matt Ryan? He's screwing us over for the comp pick.
Oh, dude.
His non-position.
I mean, it's bad enough that as Bears fans, we have gotten over the cynicism, right? Where we think only bad things happen to us. Gotten over that because we feel like we got Benny J, we got Caleb Williams. And then all of a sudden, this crap happens. And you're like, dude, like, can't we just have a season of non-effery? Like, why do you have to steal my third-round picks when it is as clear as day that he is not taking a lateral move. This is, without a doubt, a promotion. Like, come on, assistant GM, GM. Mm-hmm. Even, I know the difference between an assistant GM and a GM. And then Matt Ryan, like he said, he knows nothing. He's never been in the draft room before. You think he's going to be making decisions? Absolutely not.
You saw his press conference. You saw what he said.
Dude.
He said, Ian's making all the decisions.
Of course he did. It's a slap in the face.
Third round. Yeah. And it's not even their third rounds. It's just given right. by the NFL.
They should have somehow found a way to give the Bears one first round pick. At least one. Or third round pick, At least one third round pick. Fine. You don't want to give the Bears the two? Fine. But to say that, I mean, it is the most, like, it just feels very, and I know it's not any of this, but it feels like we're being slighted into our face and you can't, it's like, here, I know you might have never done this exec board, Jared, but you make an insurance claim and then the insurance is like, nah, we're not going to accept that. And it's like, you're the judge, jury, and executioner. Of course you're going to say no to that. And so here comes the NFL, and they're like, yeah, no, we're not doing this. Like, who can I complain to about this thing? I want to complain to the NFL. And they're like, nah, we're the NFL. We don't want to hear your complaints. We made it. It's like bizarro land, bro. Whatever.
I don't know. And I haven't heard anything about them contesting it, so I guess it is what it is.
Yeah. But
I guess my last question for you would be, circling back to my original point, Caleb versus Drake, and deservedly so. He had a really good regular season, one vote off of MVP from Stafford, who I really think deserved the MVP.
Yeah.
What is your confidence level? I guess you could put on a 1 to 10 scale in Caleb Williams moving forward.
Yeah, that's a great one, Jared. My confidence level is you could put a 0 behind my 10. It's 100. I have supreme confidence in Caleb Williams. And I think the confidence more so comes from his desire to be great. And with that desire, which most people talk about, right, in any sport, they want to be great. They want to put in the work. They want to be the first one in, last one out. But when you see results attached to that statement, right, where you've clearly seen Caleb Williams get better, and thinking about Caleb Williams in the second year of an offense, right? I was talking earlier, like, you know, Ben Johnson, you got to be in those situations in order to feel those things out and learn. Caleb Williams has done that in this offense. Next year is going to be scary season. Like, scary season where he knows where everyone's supposed to be. He you know, even more, he's like, he can do a blindfold. Like, that is going to be scary season. And so my confidence in is 10, not only because of that, but because I do think he watches the Super Bowl. He's, you know, he looks at the league and he's like, I can be the best quarterback in this league. Not that he will be, but I think he feels that way. And if he can continue to chip away at that, I mean, man, it really, I'm super geeked up about Caleb Williams and the consistency in which he can keep the Bears in the playoffs. I think, right, if you're thinking about realistic goals for your team for the foreseeable future, Super Bowls, yes, that's everybody's goal, right? But I think for the Bears fans and we as a city, it's continue to make this team relevant and proud, where he says he wants people to be proud of the Bears. Continue to make us proud on a national level, and to be proud of you, this team, and what you guys are building.
100%. And yeah, like you said, my confidence level is 10 times 10 times 10 times 10.
Okay.
But it feels different than like the 2018 Nagy Trubisky. It truly does, and I know a lot of Bears fans feel the same way. The confidence level in Caleb, and Ben Johnson. It feels right, you know?
Like, yeah.
Feels good.
It does, man. All right, Jared, thanks for the call. I appreciate you hanging out. The first and inaugural member of the Scorekeepers. I love it. I love it, Jared. Have a good one, brother.
Thanks for having me, Gabe. I'll check your email. I'll be reaching out to you shortly.
Got you. Leave the check in there. I just want you to say, just leave the check in there. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. First hour down. We got four more? Oh, my God.
Do they have board meetings like every month?
You wouldn't know because you're not a scorekeeper.
I work the shows with you.
Exactly. I'm not a scorekeeper either. It belongs to them. They are the scorekeepers.
Oh, so you're giving the power to the people.
Yeah, I'm not even a scorekeeper. I'm just the voice. I am the meeting. You know what I mean? That's my nickname, the meeting.
I was going to say like Speaker of the House, but the Speaker of the House kind of holds everything together.
I just want to be the place, you know? I'm the AA place, you know, and everybody could just pop up whenever they want to. But the good thing about being a scorekeeper is that you do get to talk about whatever you want. And the phone lines are open, all right? And so if I'm going to be here till 5 in the morning, live and local, I need you guys to chime in as well. What do you want to talk about? Not what do you want to talk about? Terrible. No. I know what I want to talk about, which is this Super Bowl. I want to talk about these two teams. I want to talk about the gap between them and the Chicago Bears. And if you have any thoughts on, here's what I'll tell you. You want to get a direct line to the top if you want to talk about any commercials or if you want to talk about the halftime. 312-644-6767. That is your phone number. We got your calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez live and local for you on 104.3 The Score.